Our scripture reading is found in the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. We begin reading at verse 49 and read through verse 64, the seventh and eighth sections of the psalm. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee, because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is the 57th verse, but really that whole eighth section. And I'll refer to those verses throughout the sermon. But the 57th verse reads as follows: Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we make our pilgrimage through this valley of tears, it is so important that we keep a proper perspective on life and on all its circumstances. It's a bit cold to think about swimming at the lake, but I recently heard about a toddler who walked into the water and first stepped into the water up to his ankles and then was up to the water to his waist, and soon this toddler was up to his neck in the water, and he had no fear. No fear at all of the danger that might threaten him, because he had a certain perspective. He knew that his father was immediately behind him with arms outstretched, ready to catch him if anything, if any wave should bump him off balance. And indeed, when we think about a toddler, he was even unaware of the danger, but he knew his father was behind him. And so too, beloved, in our pilgrimage, you and I need to keep a proper perspective on all the waves that might topple us at times. Do you see everything in relation only to earthly circumstances and only the earthly causes and effects, or do you see all of your pilgrimage in the perspective of our Heavenly Father who is there with us? Our Heavenly Father who is our portion. We know the answer of the psalmist. He says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." He sees everything in light of that truth. We might get the impression when we read Psalm 119 that the psalm, I asked my children this morning about the psalm and some of the things that they thought about the psalm. Well, the psalm is about the law of God, or the psalm is the longest chapter in the Bible, or the psalm is arranged in alphabetical order with each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet represented. And all those things may be true about the psalm, but what we ought to see, beloved, about this psalm is it's much more personal than just a lecture about the law of God. In fact, the psalm is the psalmist's prayer to God. And what we have the privilege of doing is listening in to this intimate conversation that he has with God as the circumstances of life come into his heart, and as he reflects upon his relationship with God, he makes this prayer. And in the midst of his pilgrimage and in the midst of affliction, he makes that confession: "Thou art my portion, O Lord." I want to consider the text under that theme, and indeed that whole section, Jehovah, my portion. Let's note in the first place the meaning of that. What does it mean that he is our portion? Secondly, the commitment of the psalmist in light of that truth. And lastly, the prayer, that really the elements of his prayer, also in light of that truth, that Jehovah is our portion. That really is the starting point for the whole of our pilgrimage. It ought to be the first thing we think of in our pilgrimage. Jehovah is our portion. Literally, the psalmist says, my portion, Jehovah. The very first word of this section of the psalm is the word portion in the original. My portion. The first word of the first verse shows in this part of the psalm his emphasis in the whole eighth section of the psalm. Thou art my portion, O Lord. What's a portion? Well, a portion, if you read through Scripture, if you looked up in a lexicon or some Bible dictionary, you would find that a portion is associated with an inheritance, and that inheritance was the most important thing, the most important possession, the greatest and most desired thing that someone had. It would be the one thing you would choose to keep. If everything else had to be taken away, you would say, this is my portion. What is your portion, beloved? What is my portion in our pilgrimage? What is the greatest and most desired possession that you have? What is, above all things, most precious to you? The wicked desire certain things in the world, their most precious possessions. Well, those are their idols, their houses, their cars, their investments, their influence upon others, their pursuit of pleasure, their eating and drinking and making merry. That's their portion. Those are the things that count. They don't live to give glory to God. They live to bring pleasure to themselves. They hate God and His law because He doesn't fit with their portion. But by God's grace, because of the work of the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, Jehovah has made Himself our portion. He has made Himself our portion through the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's exactly why, because of God's work and because of His grace towards him, that's why the psalmist can exclaim at the end of this section, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Because he sees that mercy of God that has made Jehovah his portion. He sees the great I am. He uses that title, Lord, which in all capitals refers to Jehovah. He sees the great I am, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is our faithful covenant God, who keeps mercy to thousands of generations of them that love him. He sees in this section the preciousness of Jehovah's mercy that delivers us from our deepest misery and gives to us the greatest good in Jesus Christ. He takes us into covenant fellowship with himself. That's what it means to have Jehovah as our portion. We are made friends of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And although we are plagued by the old man of sin, and though we are drawn away after the idols that surround us, Jehovah remains our portion. He, above all else, is most precious in our pilgrimage. And when that's true, beloved, when that's true about us, that Jehovah is our portion, well, that is going to color the whole of our pilgrimage. That's going to color every square inch of our lives. That truth that Jehovah is our portion becomes visible, not only to ourselves, but to others around us. And it becomes visible especially in times of affliction. We've seen that, have we not? The beautiful confession of God's people in the midst of affliction. Essentially saying, Jehovah is our portion. We see that with the psalmist as well. And what we may not know about Psalm 119 is that he writes this psalm in the midst of affliction. If you read through the whole psalm, you'll find almost in every section a mention of that affliction. We see that in this section when he says, verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. And the idea is not that these wicked came and stole his money, but the idea is that the wicked came and sought to ensnare him. The wicked came and oppressed him exactly because they hate God's law, and the psalmist loved God's law and loved the God who gave that law. They laid a snare in order to destroy him, that is, to rob him of his comfort and of his faith if they could, which of course was impossible because God holds him and God holds us. How does the psalmist respond in that affliction? How does he respond when the bands of wicked came upon him, when they sought to ensnare him, knowing that Jehovah was his portion? Well, that was reflected in his attitude towards God's law. What does he say when the bands of wicked robbed him? He says, but I have not forgotten thy law. You see, that Jehovah was his portion was reflected in his attitude towards God's law and his attitude towards the wicked. And beloved, if that's true, and it is, if that's true in the midst of affliction brought on by the wicked, we can argue from the greater to the lesser that this is also true in every affliction that we face, not just the afflictions brought on by the wicked, but also the afflictions that are brought on by ill health, by loss, by troubles and tumult. Whatever the affliction is, when you and I know that our portion is Jehovah, that's going to color that circumstance. That's going to affect how you and I react to those circumstances. But in the second place, this section of the psalm shows that having Jehovah as our portion, not only does it affect how we react to affliction, it affects who we have as our friends. And there are other effects as well, but I focus on those that are mentioned in this section. Who we have as our friends. The psalmist says in verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. A companion is someone who is united, that's closely united, that's bound together with us. We are all united to those who fear God, those who have reverence and awe towards God. We are united with them because of the gracious salvation that Jehovah has given us. And it makes sense, doesn't it? When we have been united to Jehovah, when we have Him as our portion, it makes sense that we would want as our companions all those who also have Jehovah as their portion. What greater thing could we have in common? What more glorious common ground than that truth? What a wonderful thing to consider that companionship that we have in the Church of Jesus Christ. When we unite in worship, to worship Jehovah, who is our portion. What a wonderful thing, too, to see that companionship in action in our marriages, when we marry in the Lord and have Jehovah as our portion, heirs together of the grace of life, as the apostle puts it. And what a wonderful thing. When the truth that Jehovah is our portion affects all of our relationships, what a contrast that is to the wicked. They are united. They are bound together, as it were, but in their hatred of Jehovah and in their hatred of God's people. And what that does then, it sets up the antithesis. The very fact that Jehovah is our portion and that Jehovah is not the portion of the wicked, it sets us apart from them. When you and I say, oh, how love I thy law, why in the world would we ever want to be companions of those who hate God's law. If you read through Psalm 119, you find over and over a description of the wicked who hate God's law, who have departed from God's law. And it says it in a number of different ways. We don't want to be companions of those who hate God's law. Just the opposite. We say with the psalmist, as he does in verse 115 later in the psalm, he says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." There's a calling that's implied in that for us, beloved, that we are separate from the wicked. Not that we go out of the world. We can't go out of the world. But our companions are not of the world. And that includes what we watch on the television. Why would we want to invite the wickedness of the world into our living room? Videos that we watch on the internet or the music that we listen to. The fact that Jehovah is our portion shows itself in who we have as our companions. It shows itself in our life. It did in the psalmist's life. We see that, especially in the psalmist's commitment to keep God's law. And that's why immediately after expressing that glorious truth, after he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," in the very same breath, he says, "I have said that I would keep thy words." The psalmist, when he says, "I have said," he's relating the fact that he's made a promise. "I have promised, I will keep thy words." And to keep, we would use this expression if someone kept sheep. To keep means to exercise great care over something. So when the psalmist expresses that idea that he will keep God's words, he's saying, "I want to give careful attention to them." What are those words that he wants to exercise such great care over? Well, we have a record of the words of God in all of Scripture. And what is the one central message of all of Scripture but the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ? When we think on these words of promise, that promise that already was given in Genesis 3:15, that mother promise, when we think about the words of God's promised salvation, then we say with the psalmist, as he does in this psalm, verse 103, he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You see, the psalmist wants to give careful attention to these glorious words, the word of the gospel. To all of the words that God has uttered, including giving careful attention to obeying God's law, those words that God has also uttered. Because he knows that God's law, keeping God's law, is the expression of love to God. God expresses, he rejoiced in the fact that God expressed his love in that promise of salvation. But how do we express our love to the God of our salvation? By keeping his law. And that law is not burdensome to him. That would be another interesting exercise, to read through Psalm 119 and find out how many times the psalmist expresses his delight in God's law. Verse 77 is one example. It says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight." And there's other verses as well. When Jehovah is your portion, beloved, and when Jehovah is my portion, we will be committed to keep his words, to give careful attention to those words of truth, the truth of the gospel, and those words contained in his law. And when you and I have such delight and commitment, well, that is going to manifest itself. That commitment will manifest itself in the first place when we are committed to keep God's words. We will be those who turn from sin in thankfulness for what God has done for us, and also in light of the law that he declares to us, that rule of thankfulness. We will be those who turn from sin in repentance. When Jehovah is our portion, that will be one of the effects of that truth. That's what the psalmist says in verse 59. In light of the truth that Jehovah was his portion, he says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You see, he looked at his ways and he saw where he fell short. And exactly as he examined his ways, he says, when I looked on my ways, then I turned my feet. I turned away from disobedience, and in repentance I turned towards obedience. I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Why would you and I ever do that, beloved, of ourselves? The truth is, by nature, we never would examine our ways and see the sin of our ways and then turn to the way of obedience. We never would do that unless Jehovah had made himself our portion. We, the wicked, might perform a certain turning. They might leave one idol and go to another idol, but they will never make that turn. They won't examine their ways and turn to the way of God's testimonies and repentance. They won't, unless God comes to them and makes himself their portion as well. The only reason that we do that is because Jehovah, that we turn from sin and turn to Jehovah. The only reason we do that is because Jehovah is our portion. And indeed, the more we delight in Jehovah, our portion, the less we will hesitate to make that turn. Our love, you could say, is expressed all the more when we do not hesitate to repent. Our love is expressed, and we find this in the home too. Children, when your parents tell you to do something, your love to your parents is expressed not when you drag your feet, right? Not when you go about that obedience slowly, but when you quickly do what you are told with a happy and submissive spirit. And the psalmist expresses that love for God also when he says, I made haste, verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. As he recognizes that Jehovah is his portion, as he delights in that truth, in a similar way, our commitment to God will express itself not just in our turning from sin and turning to obedience, but also when we are tempted by the wicked to turn aside from obedience. That was what the psalmist was referring to in verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Literally, the bands of the wicked have encircled me. They laid a snare for him. We mentioned that before. But now, what was his response? He says, but I have not forgotten thy law. I have not deliberately ignored thy law or put it behind me. Even when the wicked tempted me in that direction, he was committed to keeping God's law, not to earn anything, but in thankfulness that Jehovah was his portion. Is that your commitment, beloved? Are you committed to love God by keeping his words and to express that love by turning away from sin in repentance and following the way of obedience? Am I committed to that? The truth that Jehovah is our portion, the truth that Jehovah is our chief delight, will go hand in hand then with our prayer life. As the psalmist understands that truth about Jehovah his portion, and as he seeks to walk in the ways of Jehovah, he is a man of prayer. His pilgrimage in the midst of this world meets God in his heart, and he prays. And I suppose this is a bit artificial, but there are elements, different elements of prayer, and we can find those alluded to in this psalm. Four elements, you've probably heard that acronym before, ACTS. Four elements: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. All of those, well, certainly we find throughout the psalm, but also in this section. The psalmist, in light of the truth that Jehovah is his portion, as he is praying to God, he praises God in adoration. That very first line of the psalm is an expression of adoration. Thou art my portion, O Lord. That's a word of praise. And I was tempted to go through a list of all the different expressions of praise in the psalm. There's another wonderful exercise. How many times the psalmist expresses words of praise. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Or, blessed art thou, O Lord. Or, I remembered thy judgments. And we could go on and on throughout the psalm. Words of praise and adoration for who Jehovah is and what he does. Not only does he adore God, he also willingly confesses his sins, and he confesses his neediness. And maybe it's true, this section might not major on that theme, but it's still implicitly present. Verse 59 that we dealt with, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There's an expression that implies his sinfulness. He knew he fell short, and he knew he needed to turn his feet to God's testimonies. And we find that same theme throughout the psalm. He begins the psalm in the very beginning of the second section. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Why does he express that desire for cleansing? Because he recognizes his sin. And at the very end of the psalm, verse 176, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. How good for us to confess our sins and our neediness to Jehovah, who is our portion. Adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. The third element of prayer is thanksgiving. He expresses that in verse 62 of our section. He says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He knows God's righteous acts of judgment. He knows of those acts of judgment upon the wicked. But he also understands that when God judges the wicked, he does so for the salvation of his people. We are redeemed through judgment. He gives thanks to God for salvation. When he says, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy, that's a word that expresses his thankfulness for God's mercy. Why does he get up at midnight? I think, beloved, because those thoughts of thankfulness so swirl around in his head. He's awake. And in thankfulness, he wants to rise up. He doesn't ignore those reasons for thankfulness and go back to sleep, but he rises up to give thanks to God. And you can see his sincerity too. He rises at midnight. Nobody else is watching. But he wants to give thanks unto Jehovah, who is his portion. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. And then lastly, the psalmist makes supplication. Over and over, the psalmists ask God for grace and mercy. Because he knows, in the first place, without that grace and mercy, Jehovah would never have been his portion in the first place. But he also knows that it's not the case that once Jehovah has saved us, once Jehovah has given to us that life, that grace and mercy, it's not the case now that God gives us that grace and mercy and then leaves us to ourselves. The psalmist understands that he needs grace and mercy all along the way of his pilgrimage. Every step. He sees his constant need. And that's why he says in verse 58, and we could find so many other supplications as well. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor. He already received God's favor, of course, when God brought him into covenant fellowship with himself, but he knew his continued need. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Grant thy grace. Not because, O Lord, not because I am worthy of it, not because I've earned it, but grant it. Notice what he says. According to thy word. According to thy word of promise. According to thy promises, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's the way we ought to understand it. Knowing that Jehovah is his portion, the psalmist prays, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. All of these we include in our prayers exactly because Jehovah is our portion. He works in us to see that he truly is our portion. We believe it. And yet we also say, help thou our unbelief. We understand he's our portion, and yet how often we travel in this pilgrimage And it's as if we forget that he is behind us. As it were, with arms outstretched, with us every step of the way. The psalmist in Psalm 73 expresses that. He holds us by our hand. We believe, help thou our unbelief. How important, beloved, for you and for me, in this pilgrimage with all its afflictions, to see Jehovah is our portion. He above all things is most precious. He is our salvation. May we understand that and manifest that to the glory of his name. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, thou who art our portion, we thank thee for thy mercy. We thank thee for bringing us into covenant fellowship with thyself. Grant, O Lord, that we may manifest that life as we make our pilgrimage through this valley of tears. Where we have fallen short, give to us, O Lord, that we may think on our ways and turn our feet unto thy testimonies. Grant to us that we may keep thy words. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.